I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your Sleep Number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movement and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now, during our Veterans Day sale, save $1,000 on the Queen Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed, now $1,799. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Narrow Path radio broadcast. My name is Steve Gregg and we're live for an hour each weekday afternoon, taking your calls if you have questions about the Bible or about the Christian faith. And if you do, I have a number you can call. You can also use this number if you have a different viewpoint from the host and want to discuss that difference of opinion. Feel free to call this number, 844-484-5737. That number again is 844-484-5737. And we have some lines open right now. We don't always have them open at the beginning of the program, but we do at the moment. And so give me a call if you'd like to get through. This is a great time to get on the switchboard so that you'll be sure to be on the air today. The number is 844-484-5737. Richard from Phoenix, Arizona is our first caller today. Hi, Richard. Welcome to the Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Hi, Steve. This is Richard, longtime caller.
Yeah.
Hey, so Proverbs 6, the six things that God hates, yea, seven are an abomination. Three of those I might want to intersect with as we get to it, but that would be a proud look, a lying tongue, a heart that devises wicked plans, and one who sows discourse among brethren. Steve, as you know, you have been one of my favorite Bible teachers for a long time. I listen to you all the time. I'm always telling people about you, and I have a high regard for your teaching capacities and your skills. But I have to say, after Friday and one of the calls that came in, I'm very disappointed and offended at one of the things you said, and it related to a caller named Angela from Springfield who called about her best friend and her views about abortion. She was basically upset that her friend was supporting Joe Biden. And you listened to her, and then you chimed in, and this is what you said. You said, frankly, and this is a quote, you said, "I think the situation you described simply illustrates what anyone paying attention and who has a brain functioning in their head has noticed already, and that is most people are totally irrational, unfortunately, including most Christians. Most Christians have sacrificed their responsibility to use their brains and to be clear-thinking and to stand up for what's obviously true," close quote. Now, that just floored me that you said that. I mean, because I know lots of Christians, including myself, who voted for Joe Biden, and the reason we did is because I agree with you, and I agree with her, that while the abortion issue is exceedingly sinful, and I don't agree with it, there are cumulative sinful and disgraceful, inexcusable behaviors of this president that we feel eclipses the sin of abortion, all of which are directly called out by God in his word. And so I just think that it's...
Tell me what they are, brother.
Sure.
Are you there?
Yes, are you asking? Yeah, I am.
Yeah, tell me what those two behaviors are. Can you hear me?
You're talking about the ones that I called out.
You just make sure there are two behaviors of the president which God calls out, which make it impossible to vote for him. And I just wondered what those two are.
Well, first of all, the lying tongue. This president has he's stricken with a lying tongue. He's lying all the time. It's been a consistent theme of his presidency since the first 100 days. And he's stricken by a lying tongue. It's just, it's so off the charts. It's so out of control.
I want to hear the other one. Let's talk about this one for just for a moment. Do you know of any politician who has never lied?
That's beside the point.
No, it isn't, because you've already provided it. It is absolutely beside the point.
It's a deflection. What you're doing is a deflection.
We're not talking about the president.
We're not talking about other politicians.
Hold on a minute. I'm going to put you back on. I had to put you on hold because you don't want to let me talk. But stay there. I want to hear the second one as well. Every politician I know of, including Joe Biden, lies a great deal. Joe Biden has lied about his activities in China and that he claims he hasn't gotten any money from China. He's lied through his whole 47 years of political career. Now, I'm not saying it's okay for Trump to lie. I'm just saying you voted for Biden, and yet you said that Trump lying is a reason that you could not in good conscience vote for him. So I'm just saying I'm not trying to deflect from the fact that Trump may have told some lies. But I don't know that he lies as much as Biden does or any other. Frankly, I don't know of any other candidate for president or, frankly, for Congress or any other major office who has been more honest about keeping his promises. You know, if Trump lies about how many people are in a crowd or whether, you know, the tax break has been the greatest tax break ever in history, those are the kinds of things people are talking about as his lies. We don't know of any other lies necessarily than that kind of thing where he seems to exaggerate things, which, of course, is very common for politicians to do. But one thing we will say, every other candidate who we've ever had has made promises to the electorate, which was basically their contract with their voters, and they've broken it. Trump, virtually everything he promised, he has either put through or attempted to be put through and has been stopped by Congress. But the truth is, I don't know of a candidate who's been more honest in that respect, in the respect that matters. What matters is, did he do the things that he promised he would do? And you name any other candidate that's ever run for office in your lifetime, and you cannot say that they did. But in the case of Trump, there's a long list as long as your arm of things he promised to do. Now, you might not like the things he promised to do, but he did the things he promised to do, and that's a sign of integrity. And true, he exaggerates a bit, and lots of people want to call those lies. That's fine. People can call it whatever they want to call it. But the thing is that for you to say a Christian cannot vote for Trump because he lies, and then you vote for Biden, who lies almost every time he opens his mouth, I really don't understand that. But what's the second thing?
Well, no, I'm not saying a Christian is obligated to vote for either of the candidates.
Right.
What I'm saying is
if they're going to vote, they should vote for someone who keeps his promises because, you know, they're voting for the things he promises to do. Now, again, as a Democrat, you might not agree with the things he promises to do, but then you should vote for someone who will do the things you believe that they should do. But when a person says to his voters, vote for me and I will do this, there's been no one who's been more honest about doing that, keeping his promises, than Trump. Okay.
So, well, you know, you've talked about the lying, and you're extending this conversation and isolating it to lying, and that's not really the reason.
No, I want to hear the other thing. What's the other thing?
Well, it's not really. I will tell you the other ones if I'm given half a chance. It's not really the things that he's done. It's what you said. What you said is anybody who doesn't believe in your particular view about abortion have sacrificed their responsibility to use their brains. They're not clear thinking.
Let's talk about
that. You said. That was a quote from you, and that is completely off the rails for a Christian to be saying that about another Christian.
Well, no. You can say Christians are not using their brains. That's not off the rails to say. There are many Christians who don't use their brains. And, I mean, when I say don't use their brains, everybody knows I don't mean that their brain doesn't function to, make a living and things like that. I'm talking about in analyzing arguments. When it comes to analyzing arguments, the one thing that the human brain can do, which animal brains cannot do, many Christians do not function to analyze arguments, and that's not using their brain. I mean, that's not using their brain for the distinctive function that human brains are made for.
Well, I thought through the issues, and I'm using my brain because, as I said, there's many things that Trump has done that are so disgraceful that they eclipse the one abortion issue. And there's many Christians who feel
that way. Lying is one of them. You said lying is one of them, and I disagree with that point. What is the other one? You said there's two.
Well, you can disagree. I'm going to push back and say he is stricken with lying, and so there's a reasonable expectation that our president would not lie on a continual basis like that. I do agree with you.
Then you can't vote
for
anybody.
Politicians lie.
Then you can't.
No,
vote in
I
an
do
election.
Agree with you. I do agree with you that all people lie. It's a matter of pick your poison. Each election we've gone into, even the one 4 years ago, was a pick your poison election then, and it is again. The point is that there are other things that he does that are off the charts, and they eclipse the issue of abortion.
Hey, Richard,
the other
Richard,
ones.
Instead of saying other things, give me the second one. You said there were two. Give me the other one.
Sure. How about one who sows discourse among brethren? Okay,
discord,
you have
discord. I think that's the mainstream media that does that. I think it's Black Lives Matter that does that. I think it's the Republican Party. You think that Trump sows discourse?
Yes. Yes, all these things I'm talking about are on record. Do you not listen to his tweets? Have you read his tweets? Answer me that. Have you read his tweets?
I'm not on Twitter. I do not read tweets. So, but
okay. Well, then that's part of the problem. You're not in tune. You can't appropriate to yourself what he said because you don't know what he said.
Richard,
so
I've heard him speak. I've heard him speak when he gives speeches.
I just got through asking you if you were aware of his Twitter accounts and what he said on Twitter,
right.
And you just got through telling me you didn't.
Right.
And many of the things he's made, racial comments, racial tweets.
Give me one example,
sure.
Richard.
Sure. You want one? I'll give you one. How about the one in the villages where you have golf carts of people who are protesting in the streets, and a guy rides by in a golf cart with a sign that says, "White Power Rules." And Trump, not needing that at all, puts it on his Twitter account. That is a racist tweet. How about one of the two toddlers, the black toddler child and the white toddler child, turned into a dirty piece for Trump's campaign? What about that?
How was that done?
Because it was an innocent video of two toddlers who were friends and loved one another that was done a year ago, and they came up and embraced in the street, and somebody in the Trump campaign took it and made a false program out of it with false CNN graphics, and then they said on the graphic that one toddler has racist feelings over another because he's chasing him down the street. So they edited it. They made it into a false, dirty piece and reposted it on Twitter.
I saw that video a year ago when it came out. I don't remember what message was attached to it. I do remember seeing the two little kids. Okay, so
no,
so
Trump turned it into – Trump allowed to have it turned into a dirty piece.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I've been listening to Trump and I've been listening to Biden. I've been certainly listening to some of the people who tried to impeach Biden, and they lied all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Schiff was lying from every time he opens his mouth, he's lying, and he was in charge of the whole impeachment. I'm afraid that maybe you've only been seeing one side of the story, or maybe you haven't thought it through. Now, you complained that I said that Christians aren't using their brain. Let's get back to the abortion issue, because that's you say you've thought it through. Give me your case for saying that the abortion of a human baby is not the murder of a human child. What's your case?
It is the murder of a human child.
Okay,
absolutely.
So a million children being killed every year is not the biggest issue in America. What is the biggest issue?
We're not going to talk about America. Ask me what the biggest issue for me is. Let's keep it on track.
Well, no, we're talking about voting for an American president, okay? So you're the one who brought up the president, okay? We've got two options. One president believes in allowing women to kill their baby right up to the moment that it is born, and in some cases after it's born. The other candidate does not believe in that. Now, the appointment of Supreme Court justices will be the thing that probably decides that more than anything else, and a president does that. So we are talking about America. We're not going to be able to stop abortion around the world, but we are voting for an American president. So what issue?
There will be no moral ground, dude. You have no moral ground to make the statements that you made.
Well, I think I do. I think I do. And let me just say this.
Well, I know you absolutely don't, because first of all, you don't know me, and so you don't know my brains. And secondly, I have a right to go ahead and vote on what my conscience will allow me to do, just like yours is allowing yours. I'm not telling you how to run your conscience, am I?
Okay. Well, you might be, but I'm not sure. You're saying I shouldn't have said what I said, and my conscience tells me that was okay to say that because it was true. But let me ask you.
Well, I think completely
off the
wall.
I'm giving you a chance, okay? If you talk over me and if you don't answer me, we'll go into the next call because my lines are full. But I'm going to give you a chance.
Well,
you said you've thought
I'm listening
Tell
to
me,
you, but you're talking over me
you're
as well.
Excuse me. I have the right to use the program how I want. I'm trying to let you speak, but you won't speak to the issue. Now, and I will.
I am speaking to the issue.
Richard,
I will
I will even hang up on you if you don't let me answer ask you this question, and if you don't answer it.
Go ahead. Ask away.
There's people waiting after you who I think are honest enough to speak, answer questions if I ask them. I want to see if you're one of those people. What issue is there in this election that you think outweighs the issue of a million babies being butchered with government approval in this country? What issue is bigger than that for you?
I told you for the third time, it is cumulative issues that all out eclipse the one issue of abortion.
Okay, so
we have.
If you had.
Let me finish. Please let me finish. So we have. I already talked about the serial lying. I talked about racism. I talked about the fact. I didn't talk about the fact that he's a national security risk because he does not take care of our military troops the way he should. And there's. I could spend the next 2 hours talking about it. The issue
is.
Yeah,
I think but you could probably spend the next 2 hours without saying anything you can document. I'm really sorry to hear that because I don't. I've heard President Trump talk about race, and I know how he acts toward racists because he has, he's got a huge support more than any Republican presidential candidate has ever before among the black community and the Hispanic community. He's got like 30% support from the black community. There's no Republican candidates ever had more than what? What was it before? 12% or something? I don't think people who really know about Trump really believe he's a racist. And it would seem like the people who are of minority races would be the ones most sensitized to that. And yet there's this huge number of them that are supporting Trump. So, you say it's cumulative, and I haven't really seen anything about Trump that has damaged this country. Maybe he has, and I haven't seen it, but I've been paying attention for 4 years. And as far as I can see, he's made the country a better country. And his opponents have lied about him for 4 years. They faked the story about Russian collusion, which was proven to be false by the Mueller report and every other investigation into it. They went into a fake impeachment thing. They tied up millions of taxpayer dollars following that, though they already knew that the phone call that Trump made that they're trying to impeach him over was innocent. They were very much aware of it before. And we got a bunch of liars, it's true. And if Trump has been known to lie, then I guess he might be about average. But I have a feeling, again, when it comes to keeping promises, that's the most important honesty that we need from a president. You talk about him being a racist. I don't think he's a racist, but even if he is, he's done nothing to hurt races. He's, what a man thinks privately, I don't know. But what he has done has been good for minorities. And that's why he's got such huge support from minorities, and it may be they that will actually cause him to win this election if he does, because, Republican hasn't had that many before. Well, Richard, I'm sorry that you are offended by my statement. Maybe I have used hyperbole myself when I say they don't use their brains. What I mean, of course, is I don't believe they're analyzing arguments, which is the specific function of the human brain as opposed to animal brains. And I think that people who don't analyze arguments clearly are not good thinkers. Now, frankly, I know you're insulted. I know it sounds like an insult to your pride. I wasn't addressing anyone's pride. I was just talking about how well they think, how well they reason. And if you think, well, Steve Gregg is really wrong, I don't think he reasons very well, and I, Richard, I reason very well, well, certainly, then you know yourself better than I do. But from what you've told me, it's not, in my opinion, a great example of your reasoning powers. And I'm not trying to insult you about that. I'm just saying it doesn't sound to me like you've seen all the evidence or weighed it in a proper way. And that probably is due to a lot of what the media has put out against Trump. And I can't help it, if people haven't heard much else. But as a person who looks at more than one medium, I think a lot of what you're saying isn't true. But you've taken up about a third or more of our program. And I'm glad you called, because I do appreciate people calling who disagree. Let's talk to Thomas from Dallas, Georgia. Thomas, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you very much for giving me a speck of your time. I tell you, I've got a comment, if you'll let me, on the first caller, without any animosity or whatever. If you won't defend an unborn child who has no voice, no political power, nothing. If you won't defend that child from being cut to pieces by a so-called doctor, I don't know who you'll defend. And I've said this, please don't tell me you're a liberal, which meaning you care for the, you know, the outcast, the down, and you won't do nothing for an unborn child that recoils in pain, horrible pain. It's not cartoon pain. It's real pain from a real child.
Amen.
And if you won't defend them, you are not a liberal. You're not a liberal.
No, they're no. Left is not the same as liberal. Liberals are in favor of free speech and equality and non-racist judgments, but the left,
the
left is for everything you're decrying there. Before I take your question, I think you have a question probably too, but before you take it, I want to say this, that when someone says, you know, I'm voting against Trump, even though I'm voting for somebody who will allow an increased number of abortions with impunity, I believe that abortion is murdering a baby. So, I mean, to me, that's like a Christian in Germany in the 30s.
I agree.
Saying, you know, Mr. Hitler, it's true he's going to kill 6 million Jews. And, of course, no one knew he would. But let's just say you know that because we know about the abortions. We know what Biden stands for, okay? So if Hitler had run on a platform saying, I believe in killing all the Jews, I'm going to line them up and shoot them and put them in mass graves and send them to ovens and in gas chambers. If a Christian said, you know, I know that's a bad thing, but there's so many, you know, negatives about his opponent, so I'm going to vote for him anyway, even though his opponent will not kill Jews or anybody else. The cumulative case for Mr. Hitler, as opposed to his opponent, who has tweeted some really unpleasant things, I'm going to vote for Mr. Hitler because I know he's going to kill millions of Jews, but, you know, there's just things more important than that. I'm asking what? What is more important than that? I think that every one of us would condemn a Christian if they knew that Mr. Hitler was going to kill 6 million Jews and voted for him anyway. I don't think anyone would say that's okay. And 6 million, we've had in the 47 years that Mr. Biden's been in politics, we've had 47 million babies murdered, and there will be a lot more.
Yeah. I agree. And, you know, I could imagine someone saying, and I'm making a fictitious in here, if someone said, I can't vote for Hindenburg, I've got to vote for Hitler because Hindenburg lies.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's like, you know, I studied logic in graduate school, and that don't fly. And I understand what cumulative is, but I have seen a baby, I don't know if it's ultrasound or sonogram, recoil in pain from, I hate, it's not a doctor, from an abortionist scalpel. I've seen it.
Yeah.
And it takes a hell of a lot of cumulative to teeter-totter that.
Especially
I don't know how long that guy has.
Yeah.
You know, given 50 million years, he still will not make a cumulative argument, in my mind, against a baby being cut to pieces who did nothing wrong.
Well, because
they're the only innocent people in America.
Yeah, Thomas.
And they have no trial.
I want to say, Thomas, I agree with you. And, you know, it's the ultimate injustice. And the government has one duty that God has assigned, and that is to uphold justice, to uphold the rights of the innocent and to punish the the predators. Now, abortion doctors are predators. Those who promote abortion and get abortions are predators. They're predators against an innocent human being who is being deprived of his rights. Now, I'm not a big fan of Mr. Trump. I wish there was perhaps a better candidate, but I can't say he's killed anyone unnecessarily or believed in killing anyone necessarily, but Biden does, and so do all the people on the Democratic side, apparently. So, I mean, I don't have any idea how a Christian can say, I know that's murdering babies, but, murdering a million babies a year, that's just the price you got to pay for socialized medicine, I guess, or for whatever he's arguing for. I have no idea. To say that Trump is a liar is a non-starter, since every politician is a liar, and that's not a way of justifying Trump. That's not justifying Trump. I'm saying if you're either going to vote for a liar or you're going to vote for no one. And if you don't vote for Trump because he's a liar, then you'd better not vote for anybody or else you're a hypocrite. And, you know, they say he's a racist, but his policies, and he's glad of it, have given, you know, more jobs to minority people than any president's policies before have done. I mean, he has really done good for minorities and for the country. You know, someone says, but he said something that offended me. He said something that sounded racist. Well, again, if somebody says something that sounds racist, there's two possibilities. One is that you are oversensitized and he's not a racist. The other is that he is a racist. But being a racist, he doesn't do anything to hurt other racists. He does things to help other racists. So whatever his private thoughts are, and I certainly don't believe he's privately a racist or any other, I don't think he's publicly or privately a racist, but if he is privately a racist or even publicly speaks out as a racist, which he has not done in my opinion, so if he does, if he only does good for minority races, who cares what he thinks? It's what he does. What a man does is what we're looking for in politics. We're not looking for a man who has every virtue that we'd like a Christian leader to have. He's not a Christian leader. And we're not expecting him. Joe Biden is not even a Christian. So, I mean, he'd call himself one, of course, but we know that, you know, I won't go into all the reasons. I know he's not a Christian because I studied him, too. Let me just say, did you have a question as well, or did you just want to add to the abortion discussion?
Oh, no, I had a question, but I'll punt it in the hospitality towards waiting. I did have. I'm not going to do it. Would you let me do this and cut me off anytime? I'm going to be brief.
Let me do this. I'll put you on hold right now. We've got a break coming, and I'll put you back on so you can actually get to your question. So please stay tuned because I do want to hear what your question was. And you're listening to the Narrow Path radio broadcast. By the way, if you're a new listener, this is not a political talk show. We don't really encourage political talk, but questions do come up. And frankly, political issues sometimes are Christian concerns. And there's no reason that a Christian talk show should avoid Christian concerns just because they happen to be discussed in the political arena. But this is a Christian talk show about the Bible. And if you have questions about the Bible, that's what we're here to work on. We're going to take a break and be back in 30 seconds. Don't go away. You're listening to The Narrow Path. Our website is thenarrowpath.com. I'll be back in 30 seconds.
As you know, The Narrow Path radio show is Bible radio that has nothing to sell you but everything to give you. So do the right thing and share what you know with your family and friends. Tell them to tune in to The Narrow Path on this radio station or go to thenarrowpath.com where they will find topical audio teachings, blog articles, verse-by-verse teachings, and archives of all the radio shows. You know listeners supported Narrow Path with Steve Gregg. Share what you know.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the Narrow Path radio broadcast. My name is Steve Gregg and we're doing what we always do here, and that is taking your phone calls if you have questions about the Bible or the Christian faith or a difference of opinion from somebody who doesn't agree with the host. Like our first half hour, we spent 20 minutes discussing with a person who disagreed with the host. Now, that's fine. We actually like that kind of calls. We like to have dialogue if there's people out there who don't see it the same way. We're going to go back to talk in a moment to Thomas from Dallas, Georgia, who's on hold right now, but I want to make a couple of announcements. Wednesday, which is day after tomorrow, I'm going to be conducting a meeting on Zoom. This is not my meeting. A group in Oregon meets once in a while. It's an apologetics group, I think. They're with a church in Oregon, and they've asked me if I'd meet with them on Zoom, but you can join us if you want to. It's this Wednesday at 7 in the evening, and I think I'm just going to be answering questions. I'm not really sure what I'm doing. I don't have anything prepared to speak, and I don't think they've asked me to speak on anything. So I think it's going to be answering questions concerning apologetics-type stuff. And that's this Wednesday at 7 o'clock Pacific time. If you go to the website, thenarrowpath.com, and look under announcements, there's actually information there about how you can join us on Zoom if you want to be part of that meeting as well. And then Saturday, this next Saturday, coming up at 6:30, we have a meeting that we try to have every couple months. Or is it every month? Every month in Temecula and California. And that's at 6:30. That's also a question and answer meeting, and it's in the place we usually meet. So those of you who come to those meetings, you know where that is. If you don't, you can go to our website, thenarrowpath.com, again, and look under announcements, and you'll see this Saturday's meeting. So this Wednesday and this Saturday, a couple of opportunities that you might want to be aware of. You can find both of them at our website, thenarrowpath.com, under announcements. Thomas, welcome back to The Narrow Path. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, thanks again. I've encountered some families that I've ministered to some that have undergoing horrible suffering. One friend of mine died of cancer, a long, horrible thing. And another, now a young daughter, a friend of mine, their daughter has cancer. And a person who has also attempted to minister is basically letting them know that there's some curse. And it's almost like giving somebody a flashlight that's so extremely dim, and making that family feel like we've got to go in the basement and look around and find out what's wrong, or else, you know, daughter's going to die, this, that. Does it need to? Am I making sense?
Well, you mean somebody has told them that the reason for this cancer is because of a curse on their family?
Yeah, and these are Christian,
That's
and I don't like it. I hate it. It's like, well, what would happen to you? In other words, I don't know if it's the psalmist said, if thou, O Lord, would mark sin, who could stand?
Yeah.
I thought if they're being judged by their sin, you would wake up tomorrow with two heads.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I hear you. I hear you, brother. You know, people who talk that way seem to think that getting cancer or getting sick or dying in any way prematurely needs some kind of explanation, and the explanation has got to be there's something wrong with you or
that's
your family.
Right.
And that's, of course, what Job's counselors thought when Job came. Job had all these things happen to him. He wasn't under a curse. He was under testing. He was being tested by God and allowed Satan to take things from him, which God had every right to take from him. And frankly, Job knew that himself. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. That's blessed be the name of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't see himself as under a curse. He didn't know why it was happening. And we know it was happening even though he was innocent and there was nothing, there was no explanation for it except that he was just under God's testing. Now, whenever we suffer loss, we could see that as an opportunity to pass a test. The test being, will I still love God? Will I still glorify God when he's not doing what I want him to do? That's really what tests in this world are for. And it's a terrible thing to lose a loved one. I know, because I've lost loved ones. I know that's hard. But when we go through such trials as this, there's nothing really abnormal about them. Peter said, don't think it a strange thing when you go through fiery temptations and tests.
Yeah.
It's not strange. I mean, it's strange to us because we expected our daughter or whoever to live to be old and outlive us, and that's a tragic, horrible thing when we lose a child. But, the real issue is not whether there's a curse on us, but whether we are responding to the test in a way that's faithful to God and pleasing to God and glorifying to God. That's what Job's tests were about. That's what ours are, too. That's what testing is for. It's to test our loyalty to God, our love for God, our trust in God. And so I think whoever told them there's a curse is kind of superstitious. I have to disagree with that view. Appreciate your call. Tim from New Haven, Connecticut, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Steve, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
I just want to comment on something that I heard your first caller talk to you about. You know, I hear a lot of people talking about Trump, how he's a liar and this and that and everything else. But I got to tell you, he's backed up every policy issue that he's ever implemented. And not only that, you know, people especially us as Christians, we should be more focused on what he's done for religious freedom and for us as Christians. And I got to tell you, I've seen him back up every policy issue that he's ever implemented, and he stood up for religious freedom in every way since he's been the president. And I see so many people, especially Christians even, they want to say something negative about him because of a tweet that he might have tweeted out, or he says something that they got offended by. As long as he's standing up for what we believe in as Christians and our values, and he's doing his job as a president, regardless of what he tweeted out or what he said, because a lot of that stuff is taken out of context anyway, and it's put into a narrative situation to where people just get it twisted, you know? And
well,
as long as he's standing
happens.
Up,
yeah.
That
yeah,
happens every day, Steve. And us as Christians, I mean, we see more happen on a daily basis on the streets that we don't agree with. But yet, we let that go. But we have a president that's standing up for us, for our rights in every way. I see more pastors in the White House praying with this president on a regular basis. I mean, they have a circle around him, and a prayer circle around him, and he's praying on a regular basis with these pastors. But yet people want to say something that he's comment about a negative tweet or something that he said. It just doesn't fly with me, you know?
Yeah, me either, Tim. And you know, it's, again, when someone says, well, I can't vote for Trump because he lies, I'd like to know what he lied about that had any effect negatively on his on the country. Now, some people say, well, he caused all this racial tension. That's not true at all. I mean, Black Lives Matter has caused most of the riots and so forth that are going on, and Antifa, who's in league with them. And we know what their agenda is. They're anti-Trump. They're anti-America. They're Marxist, and they say so. So, I mean, I don't really know how he can be blamed for causing the division. And if he has said some things that have offended people, to my mind, saying something to offend somebody is not the same thing as causing discord, unless you're saying it in order to cause discord. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the network news says things every night for a whole hour that they're on that are intended to cause discord, trying to stir up hatred and so forth. But I don't know that Trump is doing that, except maybe toward his opponents, but not toward people in the country who disagree with him. That's the difference, too. I mean, Trump and his supporters don't hate the people who disagree with him, and yet the left hates the Trump supporters and Trump. I mean, there's a tremendous hatred for Trump, and what's interesting about it is that in many respects he comes off as one of the most honest guys. Yeah, okay, he exaggerates, and he might even lie. I don't know. An awful lot of people you meet on the street lie, and every politician lies. But one thing I pick up from him is that I feel like when he's talking about what he stands for, he really does stand for that. He doesn't seem to be trying to please anybody. He doesn't need the job. And the 4 years he's been president has probably been the most hellish years of his life. And he's looking for four more, and he doesn't even need the job. Why would he do that? He does that because he has certain convictions about what has been lost to this country that he thinks should be brought back. Now, Joe Biden, we could talk about any other politician, but Joe Biden's the one, of course, across the aisle from him that people are looking at. Joe Biden, who knows what he stands for? I mean, you hear Trump talk, you know what he stands for, because he not only says it boldly, even offensively, but he also implements it. So we know he stands for those things. Biden, he can't tell you one day or from the next whether he's for fracking or against fracking. And I don't care nothing about fracking. But the thing is, he'll say he's for it, then he'll say he's against it. He doesn't have any convictions. After 47 years in politics in Washington, D.C., he has not formed a backbone yet. He hasn't formed any convictions about anything yet. And therefore, you don't know what you're getting. And if he promises one thing this week, you don't know if he's going to still feel that way next week when you voted him into office, if he's going to implement anything that he said he'd implement. Of course, he's so frail that it's not likely he'll implement anything. It's almost certain that some other people stronger than him will have more impact than he will on things. If people don't agree with me about that, they don't have to agree with me. We don't have to agree on, the character of politicians, but we do have to care about justice. That's what we have to care about. And a party that does not care about justice is a party that should never be given power in government. politicians that do care for justice, they should be given power, because that's what governments are supposed to do. By the way, my wife and I just saw a documentary on Amazon last night called, what is it, The Plot Against the President? Now, that is a tremendous documentary. Everything on it I'd heard, but, well, 90% of what was on it I'd heard before, because I try to keep in touch with the news. But these were not lies. These were things that they videotaped, or they filmed Republicans and Democrats talking about and explaining what happened in this whole Russia collusion thing when they tried to get the president out. And anyone who can see that and believe that the Democratic Party has an ounce of integrity, well, let's just say they don't have any thinking process that would evaluate between right and wrong. Check it out. It's free, I think, on Amazon, if I'm not mistaken. It's called The Plot Against the President. And then you can decide who's an honest and who's not an honest person in government. Okay, let's talk to Lou from Sun City, California. Lou, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Keep a little bit on the subject here. I read in Ecclesiastes that there's a time to be born and a time to die. Now, how does all these COVID deaths fit in there? Were they all scheduled to die at this time? I mean, I have heard people say that President Trump is blamed for these deaths, and it just curdles me.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's true and undeniable that there's a time to die, but I'm not sure if that's saying that, you know, God has determined for every person what time they're to die. I mean, there's a time in your life when you're born. If that wasn't true, you wouldn't be listening to me right now, because you were born at a certain time. There will be a time in your life when you'll die. Now, is Solomon saying there in Ecclesiastes 3 that God has set specifically the date for your birth and death? Maybe. But I don't know. And I'm not sure we need to know. One thing we do know is that not a sparrow falls to the ground dead apart from the will of your Father in heaven, which means that doesn't mean that God had decided beforehand that sparrow is going to die that day. But it does mean that it wouldn't die if God didn't allow it. Because, you know, when the cat gets the bird, that maybe that wasn't predestined from the foundation of the earth, but it was something that God could have prevented. God could redirect the cat. he could warn the bird to fly away. God could do anything he wants to. If a bird dies, it's because God didn't stop it from dying. And if I die, it's because God didn't stop me from dying. Now, in a case of a person who is actually a follower of Christ, I think that we can be even more specific and say that we cannot die unless it's the time that God wants us to die. And we know there is a time that we will die. And it's much more comforting. It's much more comforting to know that I cannot die except when God wants me to, because my breath is in his hand, it says in the fifth chapter of Daniel.
He allows it, but he doesn't particularly set it. Is that what you're saying?
Right. I mean, well, yeah, he may set it. I don't know if he does or does not. But even if he doesn't, he can prevent it. If your life is in danger in a certain situation and God says, no, I got something more to do, with this person, then God can save them from death, as he did Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego or many others. If God wants you to live, no one's going to keep you from living. But God does want each of us to die at some point. And to say, well, he wouldn't want us to die of COVID, would he? Well, I'm not sure. Why wouldn't he? I mean, why is that a worse way to die than all other possible ways to die? Good Christians have been torn apart by lions and burned at the stake. Frankly, I think I'd rather die of COVID than be torn apart by lions, which, you know, good Christians, many of them were fed to the lions and or burned at the stake. Yeah, let me die of COVID rather than that. But, of course, most people in our society don't plan to die. And I think that this is a part of the delusion that's come on our people. They can be controlled. Remember, it says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15 that Satan has kept people all their lifetime under his control through the fear of death. It's a really interesting statement. That's Hebrews 2:15. It says that Jesus died to release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, meaning Satan kept them in bondage because of their fear of death. Remember that Satan argues with God about Job and saying, all the man has he'll give in exchange for his life. In other words, a man will do anything to save his life. He's afraid of death.
I don't think it's a fear of death. It's a fear of what may happen after death.
Well, some people probably have that too, although I think a lot of people don't have a clear view of what's going to happen after death. You know, I think a lot of non-Christians may suspect there's a reckoning. Maybe they believe there's a heaven and a hell, but they don't have any specific confidence about it. But I think it's just death itself that people are afraid to die, probably because it is unknown what's happening afterwards for them. But you see, this is why we can be controlled by those who are, frankly, carrying out Satan's agendas. He keeps us in bondage through fear of death. And if somebody says, you can't go to church, you can't meet with Christians, you can't have more than three couples meeting together, and they have to be 6 feet apart, well, that's, why would anyone agree with that? There's no constitutional right for any government official to say those things, but people obey them either because they don't want to get caught and arrested, or because they've been convinced that if they don't obey these instructions, they're probably going to die, or they could die. And, you know, when somebody is a Christian, they're not afraid to die. When I heard Billy Graham speak when I was 10 years old in Los Angeles, California, and heard him say, because I'm a Christian, I don't have to be afraid to die. That just struck me. I was already a Christian at the time, but it just struck me as, like, at 10 years old, I'd never thought about dying before. But it just struck me as, well, that's so true, I'd never thought of that. And since that time, I've never been afraid to die. In fact, I've often kind of wished that, you know, the Lord would take me, because it's easier than not dying, you know. But the thing is, it's not that I have a death wish. I'm just not afraid to die. And therefore, I can't be controlled by those who threaten my life. No Christian should be able to be controlled. And I think that the reason our society is so controlled by the government in this respect now is because there's been a loss of belief in God. There's been a loss of Christian conviction. Some of it's among people in the church, and of course in the society in general, it's very low. And for that reason, when you get God and Christianity out of society, to the degree that you do so, you have a government that can control anyone they want simply by threatening their life. And of course, the government at this point is very sneaky. They're not threatening our life. They're just saying, do what we do, what we tell you to, or you'll die. We won't kill you. We're trying to protect you from dying. We're the good guys. But you'll die if you don't obey us here, because there's this horrible virus. And yet, of course, anyone who's paying attention, anyone who's researched it knows the virus is not particularly dangerous for people who are young.
They're building their case on that, almost.
I know. I agree with you, sister. Hey, I need to move on and take another call.
I know. Thank you so much.
I appreciate your call. Let's talk to Derek from Compton, California. Derek, welcome to the Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Derek, with an E, Steve. I usually just listen to you, Steve, but that guy got my blood boiling, your first caller. But I want to disagree with you in one area.
Okay.
If Biden wins this election, we know exactly what we're getting. You said we know exactly what we're getting. Kamala Harris on the far left to run this country and turn it into a socialist. So we know exactly what we're getting.
I agree 100%.
I cannot believe that anybody – I'm with you on this. I cannot believe anybody with a functioning brain cell as a Christian, somebody who says they love Jesus and understands the scriptures, would say – that lying trumps abortion. That's ridiculous. Greg, you all aware that they have people who sit back and call programs just to take up time and get a point of view across? They get paid for that. You understand that, right? You know that, right?
Yeah, but that wasn't the case with Richard. Richard's a long-time listener, and he's called a lot, and he's usually favorable. So he's not some kind of paid...
So you really think he believes what he was saying?
Well, frankly, it's hard to believe that he believes it, because I don't know how a Christian would, but he apparently...
That's my point.
Yeah, but you know what? A lot of people, a lot of Christians believe things. I don't know why they would. But I have to say, I'm not in the position to say that such a person is not a Christian. What I can say is they're not thinking clearly as a Christian, and I can say that on the basis of what Scripture says.
I agree with you. You know, this in my 68 years, I'm a black man. I live in Compton, California. In my 68 years on this earth, there has never been more of a clear-cut choice if you are a Christian, now, if you're not saved, I get it. I understand. You've been duped by the news media.
Yeah.
The same news media who's been lying to us for years. This president has the gall to call them out, and I love him for that. They've been lying to us for years. They told us they've been lying. Sirhan killed Kennedy. Lee Harvey Oswald shot JFK. 9/11, two planes brought down three buildings. Artificial sweeteners are good for you. I mean, on and on, and I could go on and on and on. Weapons of mass destruction. He talked about lying. They've been lying to us for years. This is the most honest president I have seen in my 68 years on this earth.
Let me ask you this. Before we run out of time, let me ask you this.
Yes.
As a black man living in Compton, do you feel that the president is a racist? Have you followed his career enough to know whether he's a racist or not?
I do my research.
Greg,
I am very much aware. I don't want to get into it because I don't know where you are with this, but I know for a fact, there's no doubt in my mind, that the globalists that want to run the world, that want to institute the one world government, are using the Democratic Party to implement their program and continue to push it, and they've never come up with anything better than COVID.
Yeah.
COVID-19.
That's worked well for them. I say that has worked well for them so far.
It has. It really has.
And it will continue to work well for them if Biden is elected, because he's going to put the whole country under shutdown and make everyone wear masks. He said so. Of course, he might not be telling the truth, because he doesn't tell the truth very often, but at least that's what he promised to do.
Yeah. And as far as racism, if you really want to do some research, Biden is lame. It's not even close. Some of the things he said in the past. You know what? As a black man, I was totally offended, and I was angry that more people weren't offended when he said, if you don't vote for me, you're not black. That's the thing, I don't have my own mind. We all think alike. Yeah. That's crazy.
That's right.
He
thinks that black people can be kept on the plantation of liberalism and kept pretty much held down.
You know what LBJ said when he signed the welfare bill? I'll have these banks voting Democrat for the next 200 years.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the Democrats have had control of the black vote to a very large degree, but it looks like that may be shifting. Black people are smart. They're smart, and if they do their research, they find out that the party that's been claiming them is the party that's been keeping them down. I mean, it was the Democratic Party. It was the Democratic Party that formed the KKK. It's
right.
The Democratic Party in the South that promoted the Jim Crow laws. It was the Democratic Party that, although it was signed into law by a Democrat under pressure, Democratic congressmen were against the Equal Rights Amendment. I mean, there's just the Democratic Party has never been pro-minority, but they just assume that the minorities are going to vote for them because I don't know why, but they're just arrogant, I guess.
Last comment, Greg. There is more of a black following for President Trump than the news media has let on. There's millions of us out here.
Yeah, I think so. Right now they're predicting like 30% black support for Trump. I wouldn't be surprised if it's more than that, because a lot of people who support Trump are afraid to say so.
Right.
We'll just see. We'll just see. I don't know. I mean, I'm not making any real predictions because,
you know,
honestly,
The comment you just made, let me tell you something. I've been wearing Christian t-shirts for 40 years, ever since I've been saved. I'm going to put on a Trump app. I'm scared. I'll be a testimony with Jesus, but I'm kind of really leery to go out and talk, living where I live.
Well, brother, I appreciate your perspective, and thank you for sharing it. And we'll just see how things they go tomorrow. I appreciate your call, brother. Let's try to get one more call in if we can. That'll be Bruce from Whittier, California. Bruce, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Steve. I was just about ready to hang up. I know you're out of time, but your first caller, God bless you for standing your ground. And I don't have a question, but, you know, I think everybody on the planet knows the truth. They're in denial. But you are a rock star. We've talked several times. I haven't talked to you in a long time, but God bless you, Steve. And you buried that first caller.
Well, I didn't want to bury him. You know, I didn't want to bury him. I just wanted to dialogue with him.
With the truth, Steve, with the truth.
All right.
And I've met you personally.
I remember,
And your wife and your parents and you. You are a true man. a true man of the gospel, and you stood up for what was right. And
well, thank you, brother. I really need to go because I'm off the air in 30 seconds, but I always appreciate compliments, but only if they're true. And I think, frankly, I hope that is true. I'd love to hear from you again in the future. We're out of time for today. The Narrow Path is a listener-supported ministry. You want to write to us, it's The Narrow Path, P.O. Box 1730, Temecula, California, 92593. Or our website is thenarrowpath.com. Thanks for joining us. Let's talk again tomorrow.
Steve Gregg answers your Bible questions every weekday from 2 to 3, live here on True Talk 800, and that was sponsored by The Narrow Path. Coming up in just a moment, some Bible teaching from Pastor Ron Mell in Heart of the Word. And then at 3:30, it's Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress. In response to all the changes to how we do church these days due to the coronavirus pandemic, True Talk 800 has created a church service live streaming page at truetalk800.com with broadcasts of local church services. You'll be able to hear encouraging messages and worship from home with local live streams. And if you'd like to hear your church included there as well, you can let us know by clicking the church service live stream banner at truetalk800.com or on the True Talk mobile app. Again, that's the church service.
Hi, this is Crystal with 104.1 The Fish, along with my friend Major Bob Lloyd from our local Salvation Army. We are joining them to fight hunger with hope. For so many families, the pandemic has brought financial devastation, which means food insecurity is now skyrocketing too.
You know, food insecurity does not just mean skipped meals and poor nutrition, but it also means stress, worry, and shame. And we serve anyone who needs a helping hand, and we also help them heal from spiritual and emotional wounds of hunger. We are just so thankful for the support that we've received from the community. Please remember, your support also stays local. This means your support helps our neighbors, families, and individuals in need right here in our local community.
Thanks, Major Bob. Will you help us fill this need today? You can learn more or donate by going to cascade.salvationarmy.org. Together, let's fight hunger with hope. That's cascade.salvationarmy.org. Stay safe.
Balance of Nature is fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
The product that you have given me here is, as far as I'm concerned, sent to me from heaven. I love it a great deal. It's hard to find anything that's real nowadays. I enjoy it immensely. It's making my life so much better. I feel so much better. And during this pandemic, I have no worries whatsoever. My immune system has got to be at a top-notch level. I don't seem to get colds or anything. I don't know what getting sick is anymore. This is so cool.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code Portland.
Mind, body, and soul. And together, we'll get through this.
KPDQ Portland, a service of Salem Media Group. True Talk 800 is also heard on ChristianRadio.com.
It's just after 3 o'clock and time for Heart of the Word with Pastor Ron Mell on True Talk 800.
The first thing that a Christian is to do is to look up, not down. The first thing that I am to do is to look to Him and not to the situation.
Welcome to Heart of the Word, presented by Compassion Ministries, founded by Pastor Ron Mell. Hello, this is David Harms. Thanks for joining us here on the broadcast today. You know, one of the best parts about Scripture for me is realizing that when we read about these men and women of faith, that they all had disappointments. They were human, just like I'm human. And today, we are going to especially look at discouragement. What happens when we just feel like giving up? Or when we feel like God just isn't there? Well, Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah, they all went through the same thing. and we're going to talk about that today. So, we're going to be in the 42nd Psalm in terms of Scripture. Psalm 42 will serve as our text as we now join Pastor Ron Mell in a message titled, Overcoming Discouragement.
As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise of the multitude and kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto the deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Verse 11. Why art thou cast down? I love this verse. Why art thou cast down?